We are BBC Radio Berkshire. It is, like I say, 20 minutes to 8, 20 minutes to Peach Quest. Time to crack on with technology news, and the man they call the Gadget Detective is definitively Fevzi Turkart. Morning, Fevzi.
Morning.
What's going on with you? Is life good?
Yes, life is good.
You've got the thunder and lightning where you are, because lots of Berkshire, lots of places in Berkshire have got thunder and lightning.
No, it's all right. It's a bit humid, though, so it could still be coming, I think, but not yet.
Any moment now. All right, let's crack on and do this. Google AI. Now, this isn't the first time this has happened. Google Artificial Intelligence has defeated a human Go champion.
Yeah, okay, so it's worth probably just unbundling that sentence. So Go is an ancient game that is comprised of, it's a board with a grid of 19 by 19 squares and white and black counters, and the idea is to take over the most territory on the board. And it's one of those games that in itself, the rules are extremely simple, simpler even than chess. But the number of permutations and combinations is huge, and because of that, it's thought that it's actually the most complicated board game for a computer to learn and be able to win at. With chess, it was possible, I think about 30 years ago, I think, to program the rules in, and the computer could do what was called brute forcing. So from any particular chess position from the beginning right through to the end, it could work out every possible path to the end of the game. Yeah, every permutation, every combination to the end of the game. And it could then work out each stage which was the best move. That's not possible with Go. With Go, there's never going to be a computer powerful enough to do that.
Why this is important, yeah?
Yeah, because it means that the computer has effectively developed an intuition based on experience. So what it's had to do, and obviously this is artificial intelligence, is it's studied older matches, so that's one way it's learned, but it's also played thousands of games against itself, and it's learned that certain positions have a certain feel and are likely to lead to certain results. And
right, so it's just like a child learns, it's by experience and trying things out.
Exactly, and the reason why that's important is that's how machine learning is developing now, that computers have the ability to process thousands and millions and billions of instances of experience, and from that infer truths.
No, I understand. So the big question is, what does this mean for us?
It means that artificial intelligence is proceeding more quickly than was thought. Most experts in this field thought that this day was about 20 years away. And it's happened, and it happened convincingly as well. I mean, the human player played exceedingly well and was just outmatched. It wasn't that he had a bad day. In fact, he said, I quote, "I'm a bit sad. It's a bit of a regret. I think I played pretty well."
But not well enough by the looks of it.
It's certainly a game of two halves.
Let's hope Google AI never comes up with some kind of algorithm that will be a bumbling broadcaster who plays tunes and talks garbage on the radio, because I'll be out of a job.
You know one thing about this which does make me a bit sad is that this was a British company that Google bought. It was a world-leading company, and we lost it as Britain. And these are the sorts of assets. In the future, it's not oil and all of this. It's these sorts of businesses that are going to be really important.
Somebody we've talked to a lot on this show, Kevin Warwick from Reading University, is an expert in the field. Captain Cyborg, the man who's personally been chipped. He's been predicting these things for a long time. Got a crack on. Robot police officer goes on duty in Dubai. Now, in the light of the awful terror situation that we face now, this could be very important, yeah?
Yeah, so again, we thought we were a long way away from RoboCop, and admittedly, this is a fairly basic robot. It's made by a company called PAL Robotics. And you've always got to smile when sort of things of questionable reaction get given nice names, they put the word patriot in front of things quite often. So this is called PAL Robotics. Dubai police have revealed that their first robot police officer has been given the task of patrolling the city's malls and tourist attractions. People will be able to use it to report crimes, pay fines, and get information by tapping its touchscreen. You shouldn't do that with a human police officer because they don't like it. If you go and start tapping them, it doesn't work. The data collected will also be shared with transport and traffic authorities. The authorities are saying it can protect people from crime because it can broadcast what's happening right away to their command and control centre. So it's also a spy. It speaks Arabic and English, but there are plans to add Russian, Chinese, French and Spanish to its repertoire. So again, in itself, it's quite basic. I did like one quote, which didn't make a lot of sense to me. The government said that the aim was for 25% of the police force to be robotic by 2030, but that they would not replace humans.
Well, I think that's a good thing and a bad thing. A good thing that the robots can do all the routine stuff and the human intelligence can do some of the things that are now becoming increasingly important. We've only got about 60 seconds, Febzy, so if we can do the gadget of the week, which is the Omron Gentle Temp 720 contactless thermometer, whatever that is when it's at home.
Thank you. Right, so it's a thermometer for home use for when your loved ones are ill and you want to check their temperature. You don't have to put a thermometer in the mouth. You don't have to even push one of those things in the ear and click and then throw away and buy a new disposable set of caps for every 100 temperatures or so. This thing, it's contactless, so you just point it, you take the cap off. First thing it tells me, by the way, it tells me the ambient temperature in this room is 25 degrees centigrade. Mm. And then if I press the on button, and then I can beep beep, and then I take my temperature, 37.1 degrees. So it's very simple, very instant. Does three things. Does human temperatures. It's nice because it's contactless, means that when your baby or your loved one is asleep, you can still measure their temperature without waking them, can turn off the beep. And it's got another trick up its sleeve, which I like, is it can measure the temperature of objects. And what I've been using it for is to measure the temperature of drinks, hot drinks. So if I create a hot drink and I don't want to stick my finger...
Only you would use a gizmo to gauge the temperature of a hot drink.
I'll tell you why. Because sometimes if let's say you've got a child or an elderly relative, they've let their drink go cold, you stick it in the microwave, you've now not really sure how hot it is because the outside of the cup doesn't really tell you how hot the inside liquid is. I get it.
Febzy, listen, yep. We're out of time. Wonderful gadget. I used to work with a great broadcaster called Mike Dickin, who's sadly no longer with us. I thought he was the best talk presenter ever. And I would talk about stuff like this, and he'd just come back at me with, yeah, but can it tell you the winner of the 330? And there was never an answer to that question. So,
DeepMind from Google.
I guess it can't do that. If people want to shoot the breeze with you, ask you a tech question, what do they do?
Come and say hello on Twitter. Follow me at Gadget Detective. It'll be my delight to say hello.